Blog Talk Radio.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the FDH Lounge. This is mini episode number 538, and I am FDH managing partner Rick Morris. Coincidentally, for mini episode number 538, that number, of course, has come to be known in recent years and be associated with, of course, the 538.com website with a lot of brainy analysis of different matters, breaking it down. And coincidentally, we didn't plan it this way, but it worked out this way. Today is our NCAA tournament preview edition of the show, and I happen to have here in the FDH Lounge two of the smartest FDH Lounge dignitaries, if not the two smartest out there. As somebody who is not a big believer in the American judicial system, the fact that both of them have passed the bar, I'm not sure that that's exactly the commonality that we can attribute that to, but again, these are two of the very, very smartest FDH Lounge dignitaries that we have lending their analysis today. Of course, my good friend Steve Callis, who is somebody who, of course, is a multiple-time member of the show, regular panelist on many different sports topics. You can also catch him regularly where he has a show on BSTN.net. You can catch him there every week, as well as WFAN in New York, SNY in New York, different places. It's a pleasure to be able to bring on the show, of course, good friend, longtime contributor Steve Callis. Steve, how are you today, my friend?
Great to be with you as always, Rick. Looking forward to it.
This is going to be tremendous. No question about that, and what a great combination it is going to be, because our other panelist today is one of the FDH Lounge original dignitaries, going all the way back to the beginning of 07, and somebody that's really been a part of things with FDH before there even was an FDH Lounge, if you will. Somebody who is, of course, the FDH Director of Research and somebody who has been feverishly breaking down the tournament as he does every year with the tournament and a great many other matters. My longtime friend, Nate Noy. Nate, pleasure to have you on today, my friend. How are you?
Always great, Rick. You know, I've been on this show with you longer than it's been since Arizona's made a Final Four, so that's crazy.
We talked about that off air today. I was a little bit surprised that they hadn't been to a Final Four in the last 10 years. And spoiler alert, not that anybody cares, but they're in my Final Four, and I suppose we'll get to that subsequently. We're going to be looking at each one of the four regions individually. Coincidentally, I happen to be sitting in one of the more intriguing cities this year for matchups, Cleveland, Ohio, which is not noted as a college hoops hotbed, but that will, of course, be the regional final for the Midwest, and the Kentucky Wildcats will be passing through en route to trying to go 40-0. Before we get into any of the specific regions, just like to start with you guys, see if you have any overall thoughts on what the committee did, some of the different matchups on a bigger level than we'll get to when we're looking at the individual regions. I'll start with you, Steve. Any introductory thoughts here on how they put the tournament together this year?
Yeah, a few introductory thoughts. On the low end, I don't know, like many people, how UCLA got in. I don't know how Colorado State didn't get in. I don't know how Dayton got in, and they wound up getting a home game that thankfully they lost. But really not a lot of complaints. I've written columns for years, as you know, Rick, that they shouldn't have these 16 seeds play each other. What they should do is they should let the 16s be 16s, and they should take the last four teams. You always hear about Joe Lunardi on ESPN, last four in, last four out. I've maintained since they've gone to 68 teams, they should take the last four in and give them a home game and let the last four out go to the home teams of the last four in, play games on campus. You'd have sellout crowds. You know, I think there were 123 people in the stands for Hampton, Manhattan. And I'm a New York City guy, which is the only reason I knew that, because I watched that game and Manhattan got beat. But I always thought they should do that. And then you'd have very competitive games for teams that can now win in the NCAA tournament. The 16s who win can't win, because they never have, and I don't think that's going to change this year. At the top end, my complaint would be I think Arizona is the second best team in the country. I don't know if you could rank them as such, but they should have been a number one seed, in my opinion, over Villanova, clearly, and I know we'll get to this later, so I'll stop now, but Arizona should be a number one seed. I don't know that anyone can beat Kentucky. I know we'll talk about that. But that would be my biggest complaint at the top. Duke did not win the regular season, did not win the tournament. They're a one. Villanova beat nobody. We'll talk about that. They're a one. And Arizona's a two.
Absolutely. And as far as the UCLA and Colorado State thing, I think one word explains that. That word would, of course, be commerce. And you, of course, made reference to having written about this previously. Of course, I should get this out there. People can always follow your writings, not just at the WFAN.com blog, as well as at the FDH Lounge Multimedia Magazine at the FDHLounge.blogspot.com, but also SteveCallis.com, K-A-L-L-A-S, with the Callis Remarks blog. People can, of course, check that out there. Definitely want to get those plugs in. Nate, your thoughts before we get started. I know that was probably a mouthful there that you were digesting and thinking about along with your own ponderings.
Yeah, and I agree. Arizona should definitely be a one. I don't really agree with the Colorado State thing, though. You know, you and I talked about it before the preview show. I told you I thought UCLA would make the field, and, of course, they did. The problem with that is, Rick, as you and I both know, is that the tournament isn't about getting the best 68 teams or, you know, the top 46 and the 22 AQs after that. It's about money, and it's about politics, and it's about making sure conferences are taken care of over the course of many years. So UCLA finishing fourth in a power conference with a winning record, they were going to make the tournament. There was no question. There's been a few years where the Pac-12 got kind of shorted a little bit on their turn. That's the way this deal works. The Murray States of the world can forget about it. They're not getting in that large. You know, Wichita, there's two things I really want to talk about quickly. Wichita State is the biggest snow job this committee has ever done just for the storyline. The team clearly deserves no worse than a five seed, no question whatsoever. They have a 17 RPI, an 18 Sagarin. They're ranked 14th in the AP. They're ranked 13th by the coaches. They never fell out of the top 15 all year. Yet when the committee seeds teams 1 through 68, they say, well, Wichita, you're 26. We're going to put you down on the 7 line so you can play Kansas, who's going to avoid you forever. Ridiculous. You don't take a team and move them 2.5 slots on the line just to get your matchup and then to stack Kentucky's bracket. The other thing I want to complain about, poor Maryland. What a nightmare. This thing's supposed to be serpentine. So the top team's Kentucky. They'll go there. Then you go over, you know, they say it's Villanova. Duke is 2-3. That's fine. That's not who it is. But they put them 2-3. Come back to Wisconsin, who they put it for. Then they go to the top two seed, Arizona. So the serpentine's working just fine. You get back to the last two seed. You got Kansas, obviously. They are definitely the weakest two seed. You put them in Kentucky's bracket. You take the best three seed, who should have been a two in Notre Dame since they are eighth in the polls. Eighth in the Sagarin. Hello, top eight teams get a seed. No, they got the three, which again makes sense. But then you go to where you're ready for the fours. Maryland's ranked 12th in the country. Maryland's RPI is 13th. Maryland, borderline three. And instead of putting them right there over with Wisconsin's bracket where they belong, if you're going to make them a four, you bring them all the way back around and put them against Kentucky in Cleveland if they get by West Virginia. The 12th best team in the country has to beat the impossible-to-beat juggernaut. Maryland got hosed big time, and you know, you and I talked about it. It's an effort to make the Kentucky bracket one of the hardest brackets I've ever seen. The other brackets suffer in the process, but a team like Maryland, they got rooked. Kansas got rooked because they're looking at Notre Dame, who's a better team than them if they both make it to Cleveland. So interesting tournament, but the committee definitely took a few too many liberties, applied some seedings improperly, and set it up for storylines as opposed to fairness to a lot of these teams.
Well, coincidentally, with a lot of your thoughts being on the Midwest, that's the one that we're going to start on, and I'll throw it to you, Steve. And again, I am cognizant. I know you have someplace you have to be shortly. Appreciate your time and being with us here today. Take a look at it overall, Steve. Your thoughts on a very, very difficult region. I agree with Nate that it is stacked, and I think it is stacked in a manner that is more than a little bit suspicious. I've got Kentucky going through it. I've got them beating Notre Dame in the regional finals. But particularly, once you get to Cleveland, I think that's going to be the most intriguing of the four regionals, no question about it, as they're continuing this this trek here. But what are your thoughts on the teams trying to make it through to beat Kentucky out of this area?
Well, I don't think anyone can beat Kentucky as well, although I do agree it's a stacked region, but it's more about hurting the other teams, as Nate was just talking about, including Maryland and Notre Dame. Kansas, I don't think, is going to make it. Wichita State, I agree, is underseeded. So I've essentially got Kentucky rolling through, but I've got Wichita State beating Kansas in the second round because I just don't think they're that good. And I've got Wichita State beating Notre Dame to get to Kentucky for a number of reasons. But I do want to step back because I do have a couple of upsets in that first round. I do like Buffalo. I watched them win their championship. The MAC Player of the Year, Justin Moss, is a beast. Bobby Hurley's the coach. You probably know that. Buffalo's first time ever. I think they can beat West Virginia, although West Virginia, of course, defends well. Bobby Huggins always has, you know, a tough team. And I also like Texas. Texas is incredibly talented. And I know everybody was down on them, and some people thought they shouldn't make the tournament. But I saw them beat. I watched them the last four or five games. They beat Baylor, a three seed. They had Iowa State very late in that game and got beat very late. Texas is one of those teams that can beat almost anybody in the country, but they can also lose to almost anyone in the country. So I'll go Buffalo and Texas as upsets. But in the final at Cleveland, I have Kentucky beating Wichita State to go to the Final Four.
Interesting. I've got Kentucky over Notre Dame, but I do have Wichita State getting by Kansas as well. I agree with you on that. By the way, anybody wants to check it out at fantasydrafthelp.com, there's a link on the main page. If you want to check out my bracket, the official FDH bracket from Rick Morris, check it out. It's right there to be clicked on. Nate, your thoughts on the Midwest. You covered it a little bit before, but thoughts on how it may shake out. You gave kind of a good overview of all the obstacles in Kentucky's way, but having said that, how do you see some of the other variables coming into play?
Well, like what Steve said, Buffalo has an RPI of 28, Rick. They're sitting there on that line as a 28 RPI team in the country. They should have been, you know, again, small conference, we're going to job them. Really, you're going to take the best team from the small conferences and put them in Kentucky's bracket. But, yeah, they have a great chance to win that game. The one thing that concerns me, in Wichita, I absolutely could, I see them playing Kentucky, but the big concern, we saw it last night with Manhattan. They were thinking about playing Kentucky before they got to play them, and they're not playing anymore. Indiana might be thinking of, or Wichita might be thinking about the big game with Kansas coming up. They could definitely overlook Indiana. Indiana's got some good shooters. I can see Indiana winning that game, shocking everybody. Oh, my, how did Indiana do it? Wichita's playing for Saturday on they're playing for Sunday on Friday, they could get beat, so you can't look past that. But Kentucky is just going to steamroll through this region. They probably won double digits every game. I mean, you know, I think Maryland will be there to get beat by them. I do like Texas. I think, you know, like you said, Steve, they can beat anybody. They can get beat by anybody. A lot of times we see a team like Notre Dame get real hot at the end of the season, win their conference tournament. There's only been one Connecticut do what they did. A lot of times these teams get hot. Iowa State seems to do it a lot, and they're gone within 2 days. So not a big believer in them. I can see Texas pulling some upsets. There's always one of those regions where one of those double-digit teams somehow get out of that pod. But the story is Kentucky, and that's the story of the whole tournament. But so, yeah, if you're not picking – I can't even fathom any of these teams having a chance against Kentucky. 10 points or
well,
more every time.
When you look at the showbiz kind of way that the committee stacks their bracket, they claim they do it scientifically, but nobody can say that with a straight face. Even if Wichita State goes down, you still got Indiana, Kansas in the second round. And, Nate, you and I a lot of times talk about this. The top-tier programs in the country historically, Indiana v. Kansas. Neither one of them may be super sexy this year, even if Kansas is a number two. But Indiana and Kansas is going to be a showstopper in terms of legacy programs anytime they match up. So the committee really can't lose there, and that's seemingly how they always go about it. Moving
One last real quick note, Rick. One last quick note. what they did in that sub-region below Kentucky is insane. They took West Virginia, who happened to knock Kentucky out of a regional final about 4 years ago. They took Bobby Hurley, who happened to knock Kentucky out of a regional final, and they put them both in there in Maryland. So, okay, we're definitely going to have a storyline come the first game in Cleveland, and we're going to give it this many opportunities to have it. Hey, give me a break. Okay, I'll quit talking
Absolutely.
About the little gimmicks, but that's just ridiculous. So.
Well, and even for the people who believe in upsets, if it ends up being Valpo coming to Cleveland, hello, all those years of being in the conference and having the rivalry with Cleveland State. So there you go. The fourth team in there, there's still a hook, even if it's not a hook directly with Kentucky when it ends up coming to Cleveland. The West Regional will be in Los Angeles, and a lot of people are believing that it will again come down to, once again, a little bit of showbiz with the committee. It's how fitting that it's out in L.A., it's out in La La Land. Wisconsin and Arizona primed for a rematch of their classic regional final of a year ago. I'm picking that. I think it'll go the other way this time. I think Arizona will come out on top. Steve, want to get your thoughts on the West region. It seems to me to be a fairly top-heavy kind of a bracket here. When we can look so relatively, I think, confidently ahead to this Wisconsin-Arizona rematch. Some other teams in there that could maybe make some noise. There's something to be said for Baylor, perhaps on a given night, North Carolina, Oregon possibly to get out of the first round, but maybe not to get past Wisconsin and all that they got going for them. Thoughts on how the West is going to shake out, Steve?
Yeah, I think it's pretty top-heavy, as you do as well, Rick. But I have to say, I'll say maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago, I thought Wisconsin had a chance to beat Kentucky. But I've watched Wisconsin a lot in the last month, and they're simply not athletic enough. Kaminsky is great. I don't know how he's going to do if he ever gets there, and I don't think he will against that front line of Kentucky. They're very well coached. I think Bo Ryan's a great coach. But again, watching Arizona as well, Arizona strikes me as the most athletic team in this corner, if not in the whole tournament. I think Arizona's getting through to go to the Final Four. I picked them to beat Wisconsin, but I do have a Wisconsin-Arizona final in that region. The only upset I really see early on that I like a little bit, and just a little bit, is Ohio State in the 10-7 game. And frankly, that's as much because VCU lost probably their best player, Briante Weber, early in the year. He tore his ACL, and Shaka Smart has great, you know, tournament experience, and Trevion Graham has come in and filled in well. But I think at the end of the day, Ohio State, D'Angelo Russell, he's a top five pick. He's one and done. I think Thad Matta is a good, not great coach in the tournament. But Amir Williams, their big man, I like. So I think if I had to pick one upset in the first round, and that's what I'm looking for, since, you know, because of the dominance in Kentucky, if you're looking at pools here, you got to pick some upsets. That would be my only one. Other than that, everything else pretty much is according to Hoyle. But I do have Arizona beating Wisconsin because, again, I think they're more athletic. And don't forget, Arizona and Wisconsin had that great game last year. Brandon Ashley did not play in that game last year. Arizona was 21-0 before he got hurt, and then they just lost. You know, they almost went to the Final Four. They lost to Wisconsin at the buzzer. So I think they turned the tables, not in the least because they do have Brandon Ashley this year. So I have Arizona over Wisconsin, Arizona going to the Final Four.
Very interesting points. I've got Ohio State also, although that's one of those ones where it's an upset in terms of the seed, if not Vegas, because Vegas actually was giving Ohio State a little bit more respect than the committee did, so it wouldn't be considered an upset in that sense. One of those strange kind of 7-10 dynamics. I've also got Wofford as a first-round upset here over Arkansas, just kind of rolling the dice on that one. How do you see this bracket shaking out, Nate? I got to believe that you're probably like me and Steve, where you probably don't see a whole lot going against the chalk.
Not especially, no. Just a couple quick notes on that one. The Buckeyes, the Sagarin rankings, which count margin of victory, the Buckeyes are 17th in the country. Another committee snow job, stick them out there on the 10. They're 17th in the country when you count points scored and points allowed. VCU's 31, and as you said, they lost their player. I really like them to win that one, but they ain't getting by Arizona. Other note, Steve mentioned this earlier, I can't stand these four play-in things either. Give me a headache. I got to figure out if somebody's got a chance. This is the fourth season we've had that. The fifth season we've had that is when the tournament expanded to 68. In the four seasons prior, Rick, one of these two winners of 11, 12, or 13 line has won. Every time they've won at least one game, three times they've made the Sweet 16, and VCU made the Final Four out of that slot. So somebody that played either tonight or last night is going to be winning at least one game and probably two. And I think the SEC is way better than the Big East this year. I think Kentucky being so good, I watched a lot of their games. I think Mississippi could absolutely beat Xavier and give Baylor a game. So I like Mississippi in the upset. And but at the end of the day in Hollywood, it's going to be Arizona cutting down the nets. I don't dispute that for a second.
Wow. Real consensus on the first two regions for us. Well, I figured there would be on the Midwest. But on the West as well. All right, two for two. Methinks it probably breaks down in the next region here, the East, where the regional final will be in Syracuse, just a couple hours away from you there, Steve. In looking at this, I found this to be a region where you look at the one and two seeds, Villanova and Virginia, for various reasons. I'm not a huge believer in both. I agree with you, Steve, that Villanova's resume doesn't exactly blow my skirt up. Virginia, I wonder about their potential to really score enough points in some of these games in the tournament to get by. But I keep coming back to at the end of the day here, I'm not really impressed with this region overall. I do have Oklahoma over Virginia in a Sweet 16 game, but I've got Villanova over Oklahoma at the end of the day because, again, their road at least to the Elite Eight seems to be paved pretty smoothly to me. What are your thoughts on this? I'm guessing this is where our consensus breaks down.
Yeah, we're going to break down here. I'm not a Villanova fan at all. I love the Big East when it used to be the Big East, and, you know, you really have to go back to the mid-'80s when it was really, really the Big East. But nowadays, I know Villanova was 32-2, but if anybody can tell me an excellent win that they had this year, I'd like to hear what it is because they really – and look, it's not even their fault necessarily. You know, you beat Georgetown, you beat Butler. I mean, are these wins that go, oh, my goodness, these teams can get to the – Final Four, you beat VCU. Again, not impressed at all. And the other problem, I'm all for the guard-oriented tournament, and you need great guard play, and Villanova has that, and I buy all of that. But they take 43% of their shots from three. They score 35% of their points from three. And you don't have to be a genius to figure out if they falter in anything other than their first game, I think they're ripe for the picking. And, in fact, I picked NC State to beat Villanova in the second round. I guess they call it the third round, but I call it the second round. I think the Big East was not, you know, people say it was the third-ranked league this year, and if that's true, they're a distant third because it really was not. They had a lot of good teams. To me, they had no great teams, and I include Villanova in that. Having said that, I think LSU, who almost beat Kentucky, as you know, and NC State, I think that's a great game. I think NC State is going to sneak through, but part of that is based on, I don't know what Jordan Mickey's health status is. He's got a shoulder, and, you know, NC State is a guard-oriented team. If he's really healthy, then LSU poses great problems. But I'll say this, Rick. Whoever wins that game, LSU-NC State, I like them to upset Villanova. So I know that's going out on a bit of a limb. But, again, if you're picking Kentucky to go all the way and you're in any of these pools, you got to pick some of these upsets. And that's not why I'm picking them. I just think NC State can squeak by LSU. They have three guards. They have great guard play. Lacey Turner, Anthony Barber, they combined for 41 points a game. Obviously, that's where the scoring comes from. But LSU can dominate down low, and they were able to bang with Kentucky when they almost beat Kentucky. But again, I don't know if Mickey's shoulder is 100% or not. I also have Louisville making a run here. I know Louisville can't score, but I got to tell you, I watched that whole game. That was earlier in the year, Louisville-Kentucky. If Louisville could throw the ball in the ocean, they would have beaten Kentucky. Kentucky was asking to get beat that game, and Louisville wound up losing by eight. But I've got Louisville beating Northern Iowa in the second round. I've got Providence winning and then losing to Oklahoma. I've got Michigan State and Virginia, but I've got Virginia going all the way to the Final Four, but it's kind of based, again, health is so important here. Is Justin Anderson healthy enough? He's back. He's playing. You know he broke his finger. You know he had appendicitis. I don't know if he's going to be 100%. He did play this past weekend. He wasn't very good, frankly, but I don't know if we give him another week. But I'm picking Virginia to go to the Final Four and beat Louisville in that regional final based on the fact that I think Justin Anderson can get a lot healthier. If he's not healthy, then I think that's a big problem. But I think that's a fairly weak bracket compared to certainly Kentucky's and certainly Arizona's and Wisconsin on the top end.
I agree, definitely. So the Virginia Cavaliers to come out of this bracket and again the bottom of the bracket, I think certainly tougher than the top half. Nate, what are your thoughts? Are you going to pick a third team altogether? I say Villanova.
Yeah, it's funny, Virginia.
What are you going with?
It's like Steve stole my script completely. Like, what are you doing? You got all the things I was going to say. I like LSU to be Villanova. I watched them play Kentucky as well. I think they could take them. I really like Louisville to be sitting in the Elite Eight, and I like Sparty to be there with them. And I'll say this, in Kentucky's region, there are 9 teams. I went back 25 years. I capped it at 25 when I started watching basketball. It was really about 90 when the Running Rebels beat Duke by 30 in the championship. I went 25 years of Final Four history. There are 9 teams in Kentucky's region that have been to a Final Four in the last 25 years. 9. There are 9 total on the left side, on the right side of the bracket. 5 of which are in this region. Nova's been once in 25 years. LSU's been once in 25 years. Oklahoma's been twice in 25 years. None of those teams made the finals. The only 2 teams left that have been to a Final Four in the last 25 years, quarter century, are Louisville and Sparty. And it's just the cream rises to the top every time in this tournament. It seems like, yeah, you might get one new guy in there. I'm going to stick with the old line. Give me Louisville versus Sparty in the regional final, and that's going to be tight, but I think Louisville might just get by the Sparty. The rest of this tournament field, Oklahoma, like I said, been there a couple times, but fraud city, baby, and the Big East is a fraud, so I think LSU can definitely take out Nova or NC State if they don't get by them.
Okay, 3 different picks there in the East. And bypassing the number 3 seed Oklahoma, the 1, 2, and the 4 are the picks. Going to the last of them, the South region, which will play its regional final and semifinals in Houston. An interesting bracket, to me, a little bit tougher than the East overall. You've got Duke sitting in there, and I think a pretty good path for them to the Elite Eight. I think it would be a pretty monstrous upset if they ended up not making it to the Elite Eight, although Duke has certainly fallen prey to those in the past. Bottom part of the bracket I see as being tougher. I'm going to go with, and again, I could make a really good case for Duke Gonzaga or Iowa State in the Final Four. I'm going to go with Iowa State over Duke in the regional final, largely because, again, I don't want to be too chalk-heavy. I've already got 2 ones and a 2 in here. Iowa State, they're the only 3 that I can make a case for. So that may not be the best reason in the world, but I'm going with them. I'm also going with the first-round upsets. We've seen this a few times where you get a 12-13 matchup playing for the right to go to the Sweet 16. I'm going to go with Stephen F. Austin over Eastern Washington in the, and I'll call it the second round as well, even though the committee egregiously calls it the third round. So I look for a lot of shenanigans here in the South bracket. Duke with a clean path because of a lot of parity aside from the teams that they'll be facing in there, and some real brawls, I think, on the bottom half of the bracket. How do you see it lining up, Steve?
Well, I'm going with the bottom of the bracket. I'm going Gonzaga over Duke to get to the Final Four. I think this is the year for Mark Few. He's done a great job. You know, they have 2 bigs now, Sabonis and Karnowski. This Kyle Wilcher can really score. Pangos, a 4-year starter, a very good player, and Gary Bell Jr., another player I really like. I think they have a fantastic 5 or 6, and I think they can do some damage here. Duke, as I said, Duke is Duke. I understand that, and I know they have Okafor, and they have other guys, Tyus Jones, Winslow. Quinn Cook is a solid player. But again, to me, I don't know how they're a 1. Maybe someone will explain that to me. They didn't win the regular season. They didn't win the conference. I guess the answer is they're Duke and they're Coach K. Maybe that's just the answer. But I think this is the year Gonzaga finally at least makes an appearance in the Final Four. I got a couple of us upsets. I've got Stephen F. Austin in that 12-5 game. That's the second 12-5 I picked. It's not because the 12s always seem to win at least 1, although I think it's even 2 in the last few years. But they have a good team. You know, they won the 12-5 game last year. They've got the player of the year from last year. Jacob Parker's still on the team. They've got the player of the year in their conference, and I understand it's not a great conference, the Southland Conference, but they have the player of the year this year, Thomas Walkup. I think their coach is very good, Brad Underwood, and I think they can do it. I think Utah's ripe for the picking. So that's my second 12-5 upset there. I really like San Diego State now. You know, I root for St. John's because I'm a New York guy, but they lost their big man, Obekva, who's getting 2 weeks for smoking marijuana now, Rick. We'll have to talk about this on another show. But 2015, you get 2 weeks for smoking marijuana. What is it, legal in 5 states and medical? It's legal in like 23 states. I think if every kid who smoked marijuana before the tournament got caught and suspended, you'd lose like a few dozen players. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think 2 or 5 or 10 years from now, we'll be laughing at suspensions for marijuana. But this really hurt St. John's. I actually thought they could win at least a game, but now I like San Diego State. I think Georgetown's getting through, although you're right. The last 5 years that Georgetown has been in the tournament, they've lost to much lower seeds. I think the number was like at least 5 seeds lower than them the last 5 years. So John Thompson III has not obviously been able to replicate what his father did there. But I think Georgetown gets through Eastern Washington. I like SMU. I like Iowa State. I like Davidson in the 10-7 upset over Iowa. And I like Gonzaga over Duke to get to the Final Four.
Very, very interesting. I certainly like San Diego State in the 8-9 game as well. Is this another one, Nate, where we're all going to have 3 separate picks here for the region? I'm saying Iowa State. And Steve is saying Gonzaga. What's going to be your pick, and
yeah,
what's your overview of the region?
Yeah, we're way different on this one. First of all, Rick, the second biggest travesty of the seeding bracket was Georgetown. Okay, their Sagarin's 23, their RPI is 25, they're ranked 23rd and 22nd. Okay, they're 6 seed. Everything about Georgetown says 6 seed, 6 seed, 6 seed. All the numbers say 6 seed. The committee went and put them as the 16th best team in the country and gave them a four line for Georgetown. So they're 2 lines better. The committee thinks that Georgetown is 2 lines better than anybody else in the country. That's mind-blowing. Georgetown's, I never pick teams that I think are way overseeded. Stephen F. Austin, Utah could be a great battle. Utah's underseeded. Their Sagarin was 12. That's a 3 seed, not a 5. I think Utah or Stephen F. Austin wins that one for sure. I'm going with Utah. What I really like also in the sub-region, I like Wilger. He's got a ring. Him and Anthony Davis were on the Kentucky team a couple years back. But Larry Brown, he was in New York City last year, made it all the way to the finals of the NIT with this team. Most of them came back. When we talk about tournament-tested teams, 4 teams in this region have been to a Final Four in the last 25 years. Duke, Utah, Georgetown once in 25 years, UCLA. The only other guy that could even get close to that would be Larry Brown with all his experience and what he brings to the table, the fact these kids have been through a tournament in a big setting. I like SMU in the Elite Eight, but the committee got its wish. They cream-puffed up this region compared to every other region so they could get Duke, Kentucky. And I know we're about to pick our Final Four, but I think that is what the committee had intended when they started this whole process. That's why Duke is a 1. That's why they're sitting where they are. That's why they're sitting with all these cream puffs or teams that have never made the next step. Duke is absolutely going to run this bracket, and I really believe we're going to see Duke, Kentucky in our national title game.
See, and that's very interesting. And your one point in particular with SMU, yeah, they wanted Larry Brown v. UCLA, but the committee kind of blew it from a showbiz perspective because had they seeded Georgetown correctly and kept them in the same region. Hello, Georgetown v. UCLA, another battle of legacy programs. That would have been something right there. They, at least as compelling as Larry Brown against UCLA. So they could have done the right thing there in terms of seeding.
Isn't that so ironic how Larry Brown and UCLA face each other randomly with the ranking of 168?
Yeah.
But, yeah, Larry Brown's going to take his boys away. I can't wait. I really think they'll be playing Gonzaga. And I think they can win it with, you know, it'd be a great game. And when we get in these big settings, one last note on this Final Four. Year after year after year, you look at the Final Four, and they're elite coaches. Always the elite coaches. Once in a while, you get a new guy join them, and it's a one and done maybe, but the elite coaches carry their teams like the elite players do. And Larry Brown's won a title in the NBA and a title in college. Nobody else can say that, and I like his chances at least to get to Duke, but not any further.
Yeah, I did want to say one thing
it.
If I could. Rick, I just wanted to say one thing if I could about Georgetown, and I agree with everything that Nate said, but I don't know that the committee did them any favors because if you put Georgetown on the 6th line there, and put SMU up on the four, which I understand would be a little high, I'd much rather play UCLA than Eastern Washington. And if I could win that game, I'd much rather play, this is just me talking, I'd much rather play Iowa State than Duke, or maybe Stephen F. Austin and then Duke. So I think Georgetown, by accident, can make a little noise, but we'll just have to see what happens. But I don't think, I think the committee might have done them a favor based on the bracket by putting them up too high. We'll see how that plays out.
Well, funny how that works out.
I want to add one last note for Steve, if you can give me a feedback. Sorry to interrupt, but
yeah.
Look, if you look at the 8-9 against Kentucky, okay, and I did this whole analysis, Steve, of who's overseeded and underseeded.
Yeah.
Cincinnati and Purdue are overseeded by at least two lines if they were even going to be in the tournament. To me, it feels like the committee said, okay, we're going to overseed these two teams and make them the sacrificial lamb for Kentucky, because I'd rather be anybody on a 10-11 slot as opposed to being Cincinnati Purdue staring down Kentucky the next day.
Yeah, the only thing I'll say, and I like Purdue in that first game. I know they're the slight, I don't know what the odds are, but they're the 9 seed. Purdue does have those 2 7-footers who can play, but they're not as athletic as Kentucky. And do I think they made them both sacrificial lambs? Well, these two teams are ground-and-pound teams. If you think someone's trying to wear down Kentucky, not over the course of a game, but over the course of a tournament, and again, we've seen Kentucky almost lose 3, 4, 5 times, so certainly they can be beaten, and I've picked Kentucky over Gonzaga just for my final pick. But I think part of the theory might be we'll bang them with Purdue and we'll bang them with Maryland and then maybe we'll bang them with I don't know who. I don't think it's going to be Kansas, but it might be, I pick Wichita State, it might be Notre Dame. I don't know if that's the theory or not, but these guys from Kentucky have shown, forget the athleticism, forget how great they are defensively, they've shown in 4 or 5, you know, there's a big theory in New York, I don't know if you guys heard it, Mike Francesa, who's the king, you know, of the sports talk show guys in New York, had this theory this whole time, Kentucky should lose, Kentucky should lose, Kentucky should lose, it's going to be so much harder for them to win if they don't lose. I would buy that if you win every game by 20, 25 points. I would buy into that. But I don't buy into it when you almost lost. You know, they had an overtime game, a double overtime game. They almost lost to LSU. They had like 5 games where in the last 5 minutes they were games. So I think Kentucky rolls through the tournament. I hate picking the favorite. You probably know that from horse racing, Rick. I hate to pick the favorites. But yep. The only team, I'll say this, the only team I like who I think who could beat Kentucky, although I pick Kentucky, is Arizona. And I wish they were on opposite sides. I wish that was the champion game, because Arizona has athleticism and big guys. That's why I think they're getting to the Final Four. But, you know, Kentucky comes at you in droves. And I think Towns is the best player in the country. I think he's got more upside as a pro than anybody. Okafor, anybody else on Kentucky. And the final thing I'll say about Kentucky is the reason they're better and different this year is because the Harrison twins both stayed. Willie Cauley-Stein is a junior. When we're talking about Kentucky, we're never talking about a team that starts a junior and 2 sophomores since Calipari's been there. I think that, at the end of the day, will put them over the top, assuming they're going to be in a couple of close games later in the tournament.
Exactly. Veteran experience as well. And, again, you anticipated perfectly my next question, Steve, so you were clearly going then with Gonzaga over Virginia and the one national semifinal, Kentucky over Arizona, Kentucky to win it all. I agree with you on Kentucky over Arizona. I am going with Villanova over Iowa State and then Kentucky over Villanova in the championship. Nate, how's your Final Four shake out? I think even Helen Keller knows who you're picking to win at all, but what's the road to getting there?
And I'm going to feel bad for you, Rick, when Villanova once again doesn't make it out of the first weekend, but we'll see. I'll rubber it for you. But, you know, the sad thing is Paul Wilcher, the star of Gonzaga, was on the national. I said it already. He's on the national championship team with Kentucky. They ran him out of town. He didn't have a spot. He wasn't good enough anymore. So, yeah, I think Kentucky beat Duke by about 15. And if they want to, I mean, if they play the perfect game, they could do what UNLV did at Duke back in 90. But there's this – and I hate picking the favorite, too. I detest it. But I've watched maybe 20 games this year Kentucky play. They're better than anything I've ever seen. The only team that could give them a battle is that Rebel team with Anderson Hunt, Richard the Fixer in the hot tub, Larry, you know, Grandma Ma and all that. If they could give them some run, nobody else is going to be able to stop this team. It's unstoppable.
I did hear Rick on ESPN and Nate that it was interesting. I think it was Jay Williams who said, you know, none of the guys in Kentucky could deal with Larry Johnson because Larry Johnson was far beyond a man when he was in college. And as good as all these kids are in Kentucky, they're still all relatively young. But I think this Kentucky team is, you know, I think you'd have to go back to Alcindor and Walton to look for a team that could beat beat this team. Just my opinion. I think they would beat that UNLV team. The other thing I wanted to say, Rick, I think that Nate Noy and I should chip in to buy you dinner if Villanova makes the final game, because I think that's going out on a limb, frankly, and I think it's a gutsy call. But we'll see. If that happens, I'll certainly pay for half your dinner.
I don't have respect for anybody on the top part of that bracket, and we'll see how it plays out. But I think the committee just paved a nice path for him right to the Elite Eight. We'll see how it shakes out if one of these teams can leak through. Last question to you, Nate. The 2012 Kentucky Wildcats, that I know you're such a big believer in as well, how would they have done against this Kentucky team?
They didn't utilize Davis enough. If you take Anthony Davis, who would be a senior on this team had he stayed in school, obviously he wasn't going to do that. If you have that Anthony Davis facing them, they have a chance. The Anthony Davis was a freshman and was underutilized. No way. This Kentucky team beats that one by 15 or 20.
Good call. I would agree with that as well. Well, as I said going in, I knew that this was going to be electric. Great topic to talk about the NCAA men's basketball tournament with. As I said, and I think the last 40 minutes have backed up what I said, arguably the two smartest guys in the FDH lounge, Steve Callis and Nate Noy. I don't believe I've had you guys on a segment together before. I know this won't be the last time. Thanks very much, gentlemen. This was fabulous, and I know it was a great treat for all the listeners out there. Appreciate it so much.
Great to be with both of you. I had a great time.
Thanks. Yeah, absolutely. That's great time. And, Rick, you're on the short list there. It's top three, buddy. Not top two.
Well, I'm sure my dad might
just
short
list.
That
we got a lot
of smart
people. I'm sorry. You know, I don't want to take that one. But, yeah.
Well, yeah. My dad would find a lot of occasions to dispute that, but I appreciate it nonetheless. But, again, thank you very much.
If Villanova makes the Elite Eight, Rick, your dinner's on me because the Big East is a fraud this year.
We'll revisit all that in the time to come. I can't thank you guys enough for always a tremendous conversation. And, again, thank you all, everybody, for tuning in to mini-episode 538 of the FDH Lounge.